I am going to be talking about evaluating the true cost of pediatric traumatic brain injuries by looking at total charges across multiple clinical settings. And I have no relationships to disclose. Traumatic brain injury, or TBI as I'll refer to it today, occurs when an external mechanical force disrupts the normal function of the brain. So usually it's a bump or a jolt or a blow to the head or even the body. And severity of TBI can range from mild, so you might have a brief change in mental status or consciousness, or it could be more severe, and that is defined as an extended period of unconsciousness or amnesia. And as you are all probably aware, TBI has received increasing attention over the past decade. We know that it has a high incidence, also a high economic cost associated with it. There is a human impact with TBI, and we also know that it is preventable. And although there has been this increasing attention over the past few decades, we still see that the incidence is increasing. In 2009, there were at least 2.4 million emergency or ED visits, hospitalizations, and deaths related to TBI, either alone or in combination with other injuries. But we do know that only 1/4 of the estimated total lifetime healthcare cost, so that's including lost wages, care that might be needed after the injury, in 2009 were hospital related. And we also know that mild TBIs or MTBI often present to other clinical settings than the ED. So they might be seen at concussion clinics, family physicians, outpatient care. MTBIs may account to 70 to 90% of all TBIs. And because a lot of the estimates based on cost have been based on ED data, we know that we have estimated the cost of TBI as well as the incidence. Pediatric TBIs are of special concern. We know that children 14 years of age and younger account for nearly 500,000 TBI-related ED visits annually. And the highest rates of TBI-related ED visits occur among children 5 and younger, or adolescents 15 to 19 years of age. Like adults, children who sustain TBIs are at risk of long and short-term physical, cognitive, emotional, and social impairments. And we're particularly interested, at least at Nationwide Children's Hospital, in pediatric population because we think that TBI may continue to negatively affect the child's development and brain maturation as they grow into adulthood. Determining the cost of pediatric TBI, like in adults, is difficult. Several studies have investigated the economic burden, but like the studies among adults, they're defining costs differently, so looking at direct medical charges, including indirect charges. A previous study found that in 2006, pediatric TBI hospitalizations alone, their charges totaled approximately $2.6 billion. And then another study found that from 1997 to 2000, the cost of mild to moderate pediatric TBI services, so those that are of lesser severity, totaled approximately $78 million. So you can see that it does have a high incidence and a high economic cost. So the objective of this study, which we found was lacking in previous research, was really to estimate the true direct medical charges of pediatric TBI across all multiple clinical settings at one large Midwest pediatric hospital. It might be obvious which hospital that was, but for blinded review. So we were looking at inpatient, ED, outpatient care, concussion clinic, all of those types of things. Our methodology, we looked at TBI sustained by children 20 years of age and younger at one large Midwest Children's Hospital. And we looked at our study period August 1st, 2010 through July 31st, 2011. It seems like a little bit of a strange study period, but we know we do sports and rec injury a lot, and some previous studies have shown that at least kids who are participating in sports, they're sustaining them during the academic year, and we really wanted to make sure to capture that initial injury event. So we thought if it was happening related to sports, if we captured the initial event, we would also be able to capture the subsequent follow-ups during that academic year. And you can see here, these are the ICD-9 CM codes that we used. And we pulled basically anyone who fit these criteria with these diagnoses as the principal diagnosis. And I'll talk a little bit later, it wasn't really possible to figure out what other comorbidities they had, so that's definitely a limitation of this study. And as I mentioned before, they were seen across a wide array of clinical settings. The variables of interest are included here, sex, age, race, zip code of where the patient lived, their principal diagnosis, number of visits, so on and so forth. And to make all the ICD-9 CM codes manageable, we collapsed them into five diagnostic categories: concussion, head injury unspecified, brain injury with contusion, laceration, or hemorrhage, fracture of the vault or base of the skull, and other unqualified multiple fractures. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with the 959.01 code, which is this head injury unspecified. It was really challenging for us because it's kind of a catch-all. You don't know what to call it, so doctors are using it in that way. And there's also some variation across clinical settings in how they're using this code. So we took out, based on previous research done by the CDC, we took out some codes that we were classifying as MTBI related, and we are going to look at those separately. Data were analyzed using SPSS, and we looked at the differences in the average total charge per patient by gender using a two-sample t-test. For anyone who's used a medical data before, you know that it's pretty right skewed. So we also tried to log transform it, but we didn't find really any significant differences. So for ease of interpretation, we did not transform it. And we looked at linear regression to assess the average total charge by age of the patient at the first visit, average median household income, and number of visits per patient. And we were really trying to get at socioeconomic status of the patient to see if that made a difference. So we pulled data from the U.S. Census Bureau from the zip codes of the patients to look at the average median household income. So we found that in that one-year period, there were 3,971 individuals less than or 20 years of age or younger, and they were seen during 5,429 TBI-related visits. In our patient population, the mean age was 7.8 years, and about 62% were male. Not surprisingly, the majority of patients seen at our hospital were white or black African American, and we really found the majority of patients were using commercial insurance or Medicaid. Overall, as the patient age increased, we saw that the average total charge per patient increased. And not surprisingly, as patients had more visits, we also saw that their average total charge increased as well. And we didn't find any significant differences in the total charge per patient by gender, race, primary payer, or the median household income. So the total charges that we saw just in our one hospital was $13.1 million. And you'll see that this head injury unspecified code really made up the majority of the visits. Almost half of all visits were related to this code. But they only made up 13% of the total cost, the total charges. So again, we think that is because it's such a catch-all and it's some of the less severe injuries that we're seeing. And as you would expect, the fracture of the vault or base of the skull were the more severe injuries. There were only 3% of total visits, but they made up a big proportion of cost, 37%. Looking at the results by clinical setting, we saw that, again, inpatient visits made up a very small proportion of the total visits, but made up a very large chunk of the cost, which you would expect. But what we found was really interesting is that when you looked at clinical outpatient, urgent care, and the diagnostic therapy outpatient, it did make up about 10% of the total charges. So at very minimum, we might be underestimating the total charges by at least this 10%. And although I didn't highlight it, you can see that the ED visits actually made up only 16% of the total charges. So when thinking about some of those other studies that only look at ED data, we might be severely underestimating the total charges. Mild TBI versus severe TBI, thankfully, the majority of TBIs were mild, so they made up 92% of all visits and about 45% of the total charges. And we also found that the highest proportion of the MTBI-related charges were ED, urgent care, or clinic outpatient. And you'll see that the distribution of these visits are very different when just looking at the MTBI. So a much higher proportion were urgent care or clinic outpatient related. And we also found that MTBIs treated in ED had higher average total charge than MTBIs treated in urgent care. So these were the same codes comparing ED versus urgent care, and there was a difference in costs between, or charges between the two settings. So we found a ton of very interesting things that we definitely want to look further into, but just thinking about our general overarching goal of the study, we found that inpatient and ED visits accounted for the highest proportion of pediatric TBI-related charges, which was not surprising. However, a substantial proportion of charges were associated with visits to other clinical settings. That's kind of our big take-home message when thinking about estimating charges. And we found that previous studies, again, that used ED and inpatient visits alone have undoubtedly underestimated these charges. We did find that charges differed by diagnosis and clinical setting, and that MTBIs treated in ED had a higher average total charge than those treated in the urgent care setting. And thinking about how we might be able to reduce the cost of pediatric TBI, we know that pediatric TBIs can be successfully diagnosed and managed in other clinical settings than the ED. So one way of reducing the cost may be to educate parents about where they can take their children to get treated for a suspected TBI. Of course, there were limitations. Generalizability may be limited as data were restricted to this one hospital. And as I mentioned before, we had to define a finite study period, so we might have missed the initial visit or subsequent follow-up charges or visits that had charges associated with them. And again, we weren't able to determine if all the charges were directly related to that TBI or if they were associated with some concurrent injuries. So to conclude, pediatric TBIs present to a wide variety of clinical settings, and there are differences in the total charges by diagnosis, severity, and clinical setting. And the take-home message is really that investigating TBIs across the full spectrum of clinical care is needed to better understand the true clinical cost and public health burden of pediatric TBI. And I'd like to thank my co-authors and our funding source. That's it. Any questions? Sarah?
Thank you for a great presentation.
Sure.
Do you think if you were to take not just the primary diagnosis code, but any secondary or subsequent ones, how that may have changed your estimate?
I think it would be interesting. I don't know how many of you have used hospital data before. It's very difficult to kind of suss out what is associated with what. I think we could go back and look at what other potential charges or diagnoses were related to that and see, you know, just based on how many comorbidities there are, maybe that's really increasing the cost. So that might be.
Or even just how many, what percentage of all the cases that you looked at had that as a
So when we pulled the data, all of these codes were the primary diagnosis, but we just don't know. Maybe there was a secondary that was just as severe or had a higher charge associated with it. Sure.
I have a question about the code. I'm really familiar with that 95901. It's a real problem code. And hopefully that's going to be fixed a little bit by 10 p.m. But I was wondering about the code 310. What is that? Do you remember what that is?
You know, I have them all listed out, and I can look that up and let you know.
Sorry.
Yeah, I should have brought them with me, but there were so many codes that I was like, I'm not going to spend a ton of time because there might be only a few people who are familiar with them.
I know.
So. I know. I can definitely get that information to you. Yes.
Only take them to a hospital, they didn't take them to any other setting. So that might also influence. Plus, there is the ambulance call. Probably doesn't show up in any of your data.
Right, yeah, we know that really, even with the study, we're still severely underestimating the charges and the incidents, so it definitely is an area of interest that we can focus on to try to keep kids as safe as possible.